Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have with us Sean Clearwater, who's the CEO of Aspen Creek Financial. Sean, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate being here.
Hey, so I'm in Colorado and we've got Aspen Trees. So Aspen Creek sounds like a cool name. So first of all, I'd love to know, what's the reasoning behind why you guys picked the name Aspen Creek Financial?
You know, interestingly, we have a sister company called Aspen Creek Wealth Strategies. And we, when I got started in this endeavor, specifically being an independent insurance agency, we wanted to try to make it as efficient of a transition as possible. And so we wanted to partner with somebody that was well known in the industry and had a lot of the connections that you need to be successful and be efficient and helpful with our clients right out of the gate. And so we partnered with an organization out of Colorado. And there's a whole story behind the name and whatnot, but we really liked and resonated well with him in that regard.
Awesome. Well, that's awesome. So what's your background and how did you get into the financial services industry?
You know, I appreciate you asking that. It's an interesting story and not one that anybody would necessarily guess, but I actually have a degree in electrical engineering from a school here in California called University of the Pacific. And I've worked for large organizations like Cisco Systems and Intel Corporation and whatnot. And I got invited to a multi-level marketing company meeting one day, and I got recruited into the financial services industry, and I really enjoyed it, oddly. Yeah. A lot of people don't have great experiences, but I really liked the numbers, and I liked the interaction with people, and I liked the complex ways that you can solve solutions and come up with solutions that make a lot of sense. So,
well, I don't think, I mean, that's interesting that you think it's odd, but an engineering mind, you know, if this, then that, you know, if we do this, that might make your retirement savings do that. Or if we take this, I think that makes total sense. And I would much rather have someone that is giving me wealth and retirement recommendations that is very structured and organized. And so I think that's a wonderful fit. So you guys focus on in your agency, what are the typical clients that you're working with?
Yeah, great question. It varies. You know, we work from both ends of the spectrum. We've got people that are, you know, just starting in their careers and they're not sure whether they should put money into their 401k or their Roth 401k. They don't understand the difference or why you would do one over another. And then I've got the whole other end of the spectrum where I've got people that are right at that inflection point of switching from this 40-year mindset of working every day to retiring and not having to work every day. And they go from saving to spending. And that's a really emotional and psychological transition that's difficult to do without, you know, to do all by yourself. And so we try to help be that guidance and coach to help them move through that transition.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really not just a matter of fill out this half page form. Let's tick the box and we're good to go. You know, everybody's situation is different. Everyone's result that they want to achieve is different. And it almost, I've said this so many times, it almost is like you're acting like a life coach of sorts and you're asking questions like, well, tell me, Mr. and Ms. Client, what do you feel retirement looks like to you? And I'll bet you get a variety of answers. And any more, people are not saying, I just want to, you know, sit around and play golf all day long.
Right.
People are, it's almost like it's like their second wind, and they're getting out of the workforce, but now they're continuing to be productive. Well, if that's the case, your money decisions are very different from client to client, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the hardest things to do is to give a definitive answer. And so a lot of times people hear advice in the, you know, internet world or on TV or on the radio and they come to me and they say, so should I do this? Because so-and-so said to do this. And it's always an it depends answer because you're right. Each person's situation is different and the right thing for them is not going to be the same thing for the person next to them.
So when you are talking about, you know, retirement savings and planning for retirement, and a client is coming to you for, you know, advice, many times people get confused about, well, what's in it for you? You're telling me this, but what's in it for you? Because are you going to sell me this plan for $3,500, or do you get paid when my portfolio grows, or do you get paid from the, you know, insurance carriers that you place it with? How is your fee structure working? Because I think that people love understanding that, right?
They do, and it's a great question. I appreciate when people ask it, because it means that they're serious about what they're going to decide to do or not do. And once again, you know, it depends. And so in most cases, what I prefer to do is offer my advice without any obligation or cost. A lot of people don't quite understand how that works, and it's the commission model. But given the fact that, you know, I have credentials that put me in a position to be a fiduciary and to make sure that not only am I doing the right thing for them for moral and ethical reasons, but there's also a legal obligation. And I have a personal vested interest in making sure that whatever I do or recommend to them is truly the best thing for them. It's the only way to grow a business naturally and organically and in the right way. So I can't make, you know, advice to someone that isn't really the right thing for them, because it'll just be catastrophic going forward. It's just not the right thing to do either.
It's not the right thing to do, and word gets around. You know,
yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Authenticity and transparency and doing the right thing, it should be, you know, the gold standard anyway. But you then feel comfortable saying, hey, Mr. Miss Client, here's – I tell my mom to do this, or this is a good move because. And when you guide people in that decision, I think that comes across very, very real. And I've heard it said, real is rare these days.
All right.
So that's a great way to set the stage. So let's talk a little bit about some of the ways that you're helping your clients. And I think that when one of the first things is, you know, first I need to, you know, look at the word retire. So what does that look like? But then one of the things they're looking through the lens as well is, you know, passing their, you know, wealth onto their family. Talk a little bit about that wealth transfer, because I know that the big word taxes is such a big thing leading up to retirement and then also through retirement. So talk a little bit how you would guide your clients in helping to best make those decisions.
Sure. So one of the things I try to help give people a feel for is what the sequence of events is in the planning process. And so I have a one page document that I like to share that gives a visual of what that looks like. And we call it our retirement DNA. And it's just a sequential set of events that starts with just discovery. And it's really similar to like this. It's an interview. It's a question and answer environment where I'm trying to understand what retirement looks like for them. And most often people haven't really put that much thought into it. They know they want retirement, but they don't really know what it looks like, because they've, like I said earlier, they've been stuck in 40 years of working mindset. And so taxes is a major component to it. And it can be a real big drag, and it can help you in certain ways, and it can really hurt you in a lot of others. And so taking advantage of all the tools and strategies that are out there is my objective, and something I really enjoy doing, and help educate people on the different options that they can make. And each person's situation is different, like we've said. And so, you know, depending on what their investment portfolio looks like and what their goals are, we'll take different paths. And sometimes they don't know exactly, and that's okay. So we choose something that's a little bit of both, and we allow it to be flexible. And we, through regular reviews, we make sure that we're constantly fine-tuning it to make sure that it's working as effectively as possible.
Yes. And I think it kind of reminds me of like when you play chess and you make a move and you leave your finger on it and you're like, okay, I can still, you know, take my move back and you look around, is this the right thing? And sometimes making these kind of decisions, that's very similar. It's like, okay, well, let's not execute this move, but if we did, here's what that would look like. So I think that really ties in so much. And you mentioned taxes, and nobody is a tax, you know, professional. And so talk to your current tax professional, but I guess it's safe to say that we can probably rest assured that taxes will go up over, you know, the years ahead, because we look at how the government spends money, and
it's just,
you know,
logical.
No matter what party you're part of, the government, it has a deficit, and we know that there's a deficit. And how do they close that gap? They got to raise taxes or get it from taxes. So, you know, if you're looking to retire in 5, 10, 15, 20 years, are taxes going to be the same as today? Question mark, but they probably are going to go up and you have to plan for that.
I like to say that taxes are on sale, because if you look at the history of what tax rates have looked like, we're really near the bottom of where they've ever been. And so that's pretty indicative of what the future can hold. They can't go down much more. So sometimes people think, well, I'm going to be in a lower tax bracket when I retire. And that may be true, but then I turn around and ask the question, well, do you really want to make less money in retirement than you were when you were working? Most people would say no to that. So if we can do enough planning and we can save enough and make the right choices and give ourselves enough time, then I prefer to put people in a position where they're making more money in retirement than they were when they were working. So that old adage of, you know, I'll be in a lower tax bracket when I retire isn't always the case. So then you kind of have to start making some adjustments in the way you think.
Yeah, because you might say that statement, I'll be in a lower tax bracket, because you might assume you'll make less money, but right. that also assumes that the bracket itself remains the same.
Right. But, no, there are way too many variables. Yeah. I like to ask people if, you know, well, what does your crystal ball say? Because mine's not working. So.
Yeah. And if you can crystal ball it, let's talk about the lottery or all kinds of other things. So what are some things that can be done, you know, leading up to retirement? Let's say that you have someone with a good runway of time. What are some of the things they should be considering for, you know, maybe tax favored vehicles so that they can put themselves in that good position?
Yeah, one of the things I like to try to encourage people to employ in their arsenal, so to say, is having options. And so Roth IRAs are great tools. They give you the ability to grow your money tax-free and access it tax-free. And sometimes people don't understand how that works, so I can give some education and analogies on how to think about that. But there are other vehicles that behave very similarly to a Roth IRA that don't have the same restrictions. Because what I don't like about the Roth in particular is that you got to be 59 and a half. And that's assuming they don't raise that age limit to access those earnings without any tax or penalties. And so if I've got a really good income earner that's, you know, maybe they're in their 30s or 40s, they may want to retire when they're 50 or 55. Well, what are you supposed to do when your Roth IRA doesn't let you access it until you're 59 and a half? So I've got, you know, other options. And one of them is, you know, permanent life insurance. And when you say that out loud, a lot of people start to cringe, or they get nervous or uncomfortable, because, you know, they heard Susie Orman or Dave Ramsey talk about how bad it is. And I'll just remind people that there are right ways and wrong ways of doing things. And for, you know, unfortunately in my profession, there are a lot of advisors that don't know how to do things properly with those tools, and an improperly used tool doesn't work right. So long story short, and I've done a lot of work on myself and education and learning to make sure that I know the right ways and wrong ways to do things. And so I can help people utilize these tools that are out there to serve multiple purposes. I like to call permanent life insurance a Swiss Army knife, because it can do so many different things, and it's so flexible and useful, and it's modifiable. So that's one of the tools I like to use.
And you bring up a good point, because I think that, you know, way back in the day, I remember I was in the mortgage industry a couple decades ago, and you hear, you know, the A.L. Williams, you know. That concept of, you know, oh, buy term and invest the rest. And,
right.
And people think, oh, term, and it's cheaper. And you see the TV commercials, right? $1 million of coverage,
$9
a penny. I don't know. And people hear like, oh, insurance, I'm good. And they all of a sudden turn off. But it's almost like you need to think of it like, you know, maybe let's put it into a vehicle that, how would you feel about a vehicle that could accomplish the following for you? X, Y, Z, P, D, Q. And they're like, oh, that'd be awesome. And then it's almost like you want to tell them, okay, well, we got this vehicle that's AAA rated and been around for hundreds of years and all of these things. And well, it's permanent life insurance. And it's like, oh, well, wow, it's kind of a different perspective. So talk a little bit about some of the things that people can experience as living benefits. Cause I think a lot of times people think insurance, you die, you get money. That's what insurance does. But in reality, permanent life insurance gives you benefits, you know, today moving forward.
Sure. Yeah. A lot of times people don't have the education to understand how to use it and what it's capable of. You know, term insurance serves a great purpose from a perspective of giving you good protection for a really low cost. But on the other side, you know, a lot of times those don't ever pay out. There's all these statistics that we could rattle off about how inefficient they are. But at the end of the day, you know, I like to focus on flexibility, and term insurance is typically part of a plan, particularly for a younger family. And we could talk through all the nuances of that. But the living benefits and the living ways of using a life insurance policy that has a death benefit, don't get me wrong, you know, there are things that it does and provides for your family on the day that you no longer are breathing. But there are a lot of things you can do up until that day with that policy that you can take advantage of. All the living benefits are, you know, substantial based on each person's situation, but you can access money that's inside there. I like to refer to it as equity, help people understand how it's similar to a house and having equity in your house, but actually being able to access it. And then there are a lot of other benefits that can come along in the event that you got disabled or things of that nature too. So it's quite flexible.
And we've been talking about taxes. So let's now contrast some of the ways that this vehicle could benefit on the tax side of things.
Sure. So there's a couple of key features. One is, you know, any death benefit with a life insurance policy goes to your heirs tax-free. It's one of the most significant ways to transfer wealth. You know, I'm working with a family that's, you know, in their retired years, and they've got a certain amount of money that they want to make sure that they give to their kids, to their charity, to their grandkids, whatever purpose. It's a great way to add a multiple and a guaranteed rate of return on money that you have a specific purpose for. Life insurance is a great tool for that. It's going to pay out a lot more than any of the other fixed options.
And you said something a second ago that made my, you know, attention perk up.
Okay.
Guaranteed.
Sure. Yeah. No, there aren't many places in this world where you can say guaranteed and have it really, really mean something. And when you're working with these, you know, large institutions, these carriers, these life insurance companies that have been around for hundreds of years, and they have immense assets in their backing, there's no messing around with them. Not only are they immensely well rated from all these different rating companies that you know try to rank how well they are established, but they've been around a long time. They're very well positioned to make sure that they can make good on any of the guarantees in the contracts that they provide. That's one of the ways I like to refer to these life insurance contracts as investment grade life insurance contracts.
Yeah. Well, also along the lines of guarantee, you know, we're talking about retirement and wealth building and things like that. And one of the big, you know, another word, risk, you know, so like, oh, well, I put my money in this and then it lost everything or it went down.
Right.
So talk a little bit about how these, you know, permanent life insurance contracts, is there risk involved in those for, you know, losing money? So it's guaranteed, but risk too?
Great question. There is potential risk with the wrong kind of permanent life insurance. So when I was first in the industry, working for one of the larger companies, one of the most popular products was a variable universal life insurance product. And those do have risk associated with them. But since educating myself further and all of the improvements that these companies have made on the fixed side, there are guaranteed places to put this money that have the same features without any of the risk involved. And that's really meaningful you know, to try to get your head around, is how you can participate in growth in the market without any of the risk. And it just really brings a lot of peace of mind to to many of my clients, knowing that if the market goes down tomorrow or whatnot, their money is not at risk. The worst they can do is make nothing.
So you got, you know, risk avoidance, risk mitigation, guarantees. The money grows tax free. I mean, all
access of tax free.
Then one last thing to touch on, and you mentioned this about, you know, flexibility. So let's say that, you know, you've got, you know, your kid is 6 years old and now all of a sudden, poof, they've grown up and now they're heading to college.
Right.
And you've got some money, you know, cash value equity in these contracts. Talk about how you can access that for things like, would it be a good idea for college tuition?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the most valuable tools to use as an alternative to a 529 or a Coverdell plan, because it gives you the flexibility to, you know, if you do a policy on a minor or on one of your children, it's a way to save money for them for whatever they choose to use it for, or whatever you allow them to choose to use it for, without it being forced to be used for education. And it's not going to count against them in calculations with their financial aid forms and things of that nature. So if they choose to go to college, you can use it for that. If they choose to go to a trade school instead of college, you can use it for that. Mm-hmm. It has a lot, you know, if they, you want to have them start a business, if they're really passionate about something, it gives you a lot of flexibility, again, that you don't have with some of the more traditional tools. And it's one of the things I like to be able to bring to people are some different ways of doing things outside the box is kind of how I like to think about it.
Yeah, I love that, you know, because you, again, we kind of tie in the life insurance on the term side only pays out when a death happens. But all right. of these things we're talking about from guarantee and low risk and flexibility, I think these are things that make people kind of sit up and go, that's tell me a little bit more. I heard right. about, be interested. Right. And with the tax aspect of things that we've been talking about, if this money over time grows tax-free, isn't that kind of like one of the, you hear like, you know, oh, these super uber wealthy top 1% of the world, right. they pay so little in taxes. Is that one of the strategies that they implement and this is now available for the little guy?
Right. In more cases than not, that's accurate. And it's one of the things that we like to try to help educate people on is that the strategies that the uber wealthy use can be used by the average middle America. And that was one of the things that kind of got me really passionate about this industry is the ability to help people that may not be able to get the advice of, you know, the typical, you know, financial advisor with Morgan Stanley, or that's who it was back in the day. I had a story where I was trying to get some advice from a Morgan Stanley rep. This was before I got licensed, and he wasn't willing to work with me until I had at least $10,000. Yeah. And that really bothered me. And so it was one of the things that I like to try to bring to the table is, you know, I can help anybody. Everybody deserves the right to learn and to understand and implement the same strategies that the uber wealthy do.
And obviously, you don't put all your eggs in this basket. And obviously, sure. it's not right for everybody all the time. But there's some really powerful things we've talked about here. So, Sean, if someone is listening to this going, you know, tell me more, what's the best way they can learn more and then reach out and connect with you?
Great. Yeah, we've got a lot of material and educational type things on our website, www.aspencreekfinancial.com. We've got a chat feature on there where you can chat with a representative directly there, and we've got all of our contact information there as well. So I'd love an opportunity to interact with anybody that's interested in learning more.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It was a real pleasure talking with you today.
Thank you. Same here.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.